Lord Jesus, today we are here to celebrate that you are alive and to declare that in our current circumstances, that because of the resurrection, that we are people of hope. And so this morning as we worship, we invite you to speak to us and we invite you to build us up. Amen.
Happy Easter. Today I'm going to read to you from the Jesus Storybook Bible by Sally Lloyd-Jones. Today we're going to read God's Wonderful Surprise. Jesus' friends were sad. They would never see their best friend again. How could this happen? Wasn't Jesus the rescuer? The king God had promised? It wasn't supposed to end like this. Yes, but whoever said anything about the end? Just before sunrise, on the third day, God sent an earthquake and an angel from heaven. When the guards saw the angel, they fell down with fright. The angel rolled the huge stone away, sat on top of it, and waited. At the first glimmer of dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other women headed to the tomb to wash Jesus's body. The early morning sun slanted through the ancient olive trees, drops of dew glittering on leaves and grasses, little tears everywhere. The friends walked quietly along the hilly path through the olive groves until they reached the tomb. And immediately they noticed something odd. It was wide open. They peered through the opening into the dark tomb. But wait, Jesus's body was gone. And something else. A shining man was there, with clothes made from lightning. "Don't be scared," the angel said. But they couldn't help it. They screamed anyway. The angel asked them, "What are you doing here? This is a tomb, and tombs are for dead people." The women couldn't speak. "Jesus isn't dead anymore," he said. "He's alive again." And their hearts leapt. And then the angel laughed with such gladness that they felt for a moment as if they had awoken from a nightmare. The other women rushed home, but Mary stayed behind. How could it be true? Jesus was definitely dead. How could he be alive? Just then, Mary heard someone else in the garden. Perhaps it's the gardener, she thought. He'll know where Jesus's body is. I don't know where Jesus is, Mary said urgently. I can't find him. But it was all right. Jesus knew where she was, and he had found her. Mary. Only one person said her name like that. She could hear her heart thumping. She turned around. She could just make out a figure. She shaded her eyes to see and thought she was dreaming. But she wasn't dreaming. She was seeing. Jesus! Mary fell to the ground. Suddenly, tears filled her eyes and great sobs shook her whole body. And all she wanted in that moment was to cling to Jesus and never let him go. "You'll be able to hold on to me later, Mary," Jesus said gently, "and always be close to me. But now go and tell the others that I'm alive." Mary ran and ran all the way to the city. She had never run so fast or so far in all her life. She felt she could have run forever. She didn't even feel like her feet touched the ground. The sun seemed to be dancing and gleaming and bounding across the sky, racing with her and shining brighter than she could ever remember in the clear, fresh air. And it seemed to her that morning, as she ran, almost as if the whole world had been made anew, almost as if the whole world were singing for joy. The trees, tiny sounds in the grass, the birds, her heart. Was God really making everything sad come untrue? Was he making even death come untrue? She couldn't wait to tell Jesus' friends. They won't believe it, she laughed. She was right, of course.
The weather last weekend was pretty nice. And so my family and I took advantage of the nice weather by doing some work in our backyard. Now, we had big plans for our yard this year, but given the current situation, we've had to put some of those plans on hold. But one of the things that we thought was fitting was to plant a vegetable garden. And of course, we know it's much too early to actually plant anything, but we're kind of starting from scratch. And so this means that we need to clear the ground, we need to build the raised beds, and we have needed to move a whole lot of dirt. And yes, we've moved a lot of dirt already. But all of this is in anticipation of actually planting seeds and watching them grow into food that we can eat. Now, as we got to work creating these garden spaces, it occurred to me that this is a very subversive thing to do during this time. See, right now we are being bombarded with constant news and updates about this virus and the impact that it's having. In a very real way, death is all around us. It's a threat that is hanging over our heads. But to plant a garden is to lean into and to anticipate life. To plant a garden is to have hope. But let's be real. Hope is hard. I want what I hope for right now. And yet I'm often waiting for my hopes to come about. You know, hope is attached to faith. And we need to recognize and know that faith is a gift that comes from God. Hope isn't just being optimistic that things will work out. I mean, by nature, I am an optimistic person. But one of the tough lessons that I'm learning is that despite the best spin that I put on things, some things just don't work out. Situations do get worse. And it's in this that we can find and experience heartbreak. Instead, hope is a trust that isn't easy to come by. A trust that things are happening. Good things, redemptive things, things that we can't fully know and understand. At times like these, hope might be a fragile belief that things are being made new. Now, over the past few weeks, as we've been planning our garden, we have been discussing the things that we need. We need wood for the beds, we need dirt and compost, and we need to decide what we're going to plant so we can place a seed order. Now, if you're paying attention when you're planting a garden, you will be reminded that hope can be found in even things of death. You know, flower seeds are harvested from dead flowers of a past season. The soil we shoveled into our garden is the result of other dead things breaking down and becoming dirt. We're going to mix in compost and manure into our garden, and these things represent various types of waste and decay. Even the wood for our planter boxes is from a fallen tree. See, in our garden, these dead things are being repurposed to help bring about new life. But despite the work that we're putting in, gardening takes time. It's an exercise in toiling, in waiting, in longing, and some days wondering if anything is going to happen at all. Now, in our current society, we are used to getting results instantly. The idea of waiting is strange, and yet hope so often requires waiting. Now, sometime in the next month or so, we are going to begin to plant tiny seeds into the ground. And then we're going to wait, watching for signs of life. And there's going to be days when we wonder if anything is happening. There's going to be days where we wonder if we bought a bad pack of seeds or whether some animal has dug up the seeds that we'd planted. But one day, my poor wife is going to hear me get way too excited about seeing something green poking out of the ground. You know, gardening isn't easy. It takes work. It takes patience. It takes perseverance and even a willingness to be disappointed. But for those who stick with it, the harvest is usually worth it. Now, I've spent a lot of time talking about gardening, I know, and I'm in danger of losing a chunk of you, but I think on this Easter, the image of a garden really does speak to me. In fact, the setting of the resurrection story is a garden. And interestingly enough, the story of Scripture starts in a garden and it ends with a garden. The events of Good Friday end with Jesus being buried in a garden. And the scene ends with his friends rushing away to observe the Sabbath. Now, I think it would be safe to assume that this is one of those Sabbaths that is unlike any other, where we find ourselves wandering around in a zombie-like state, not really sure what to do and what to say, and if life is even really, if all this is really even happening. See, for Jesus' friends, within 48 hours, their world had been turned upside down. The person that they had hoped in was suddenly gone, buried, and the question is, what are they going to do now? And as the sun rises on Sunday, a small group of women make their way back to the garden. Now, I'm sure that they're in a fog. They aren't sure what to do, but they wanted to be there to continue mourning their friend and their Lord. They wanted to be there to weep, to shake their fists, to wait for the next shoe to drop. I mean, if they did this to Jesus, what were they going to do to his followers? Hope was missing, and yet they went to the last place where they saw Jesus anyways. And perhaps here's something for us to think about this morning. When we are struggling to find hope, where do we go? What do we lean into? For some of us, we go to entertainment. For others of us, we immerse ourselves in our work. For others, still others of us, we find our ways to unhealthy habits or addictions. I mean, raise your hand if you found yourself emotionally eating sometime over the past few weeks. I know. As we ponder this story this morning, we should see that where the women go is to the last place where they saw Jesus. And it's here where they find him. And so for us in this season where hope is tough to come by, perhaps something for us to do is to find ways to practice going to those places where we've experienced Jesus in the past. Whether that be in prayer or reading scripture or playing guitar or playing piano and belting out worship songs at the top of our lungs, whatever it might be, I would encourage us to stumble our way to those places and practices. I mean, who knows what or who we will find when we get there. Now, as these women make their way to the garden, they see something that they didn't expect. The tomb that had been sealed is now wide open, and an angel is there to tell them that Jesus is not there, that he'd risen from the dead. And in John's gospel, this moment has a very personal dimension to it. Mary, one of Jesus' friends, is overwhelmed with grief. Things just seem to be getting worse. I mean, first Jesus is killed, and now his body is missing. And it's in this moment where Jesus himself shows up and calls her by name, instantly bringing hope to her broken heart. You know, the story of the resurrection is the story of Jesus bringing life out of death, bringing hope to a moment of disoriented waiting where hope was missing. See, through the resurrection, the certainties of sin and death are overcome. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul talks about the new life that we can have because Jesus is alive. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. See, as we follow Jesus, believing that he has overcome sin and death, we too are welcomed into his unexpected life. It's a process by which we die to ourselves, giving up the need to control, giving up the need to call the shots and to be first, and to instead embrace life with Jesus at the center. This is a daily process which results in us being reborn into the life of the kingdom. And it comes about through the unexpected bleakness of death, and it involves waiting in expectation for Jesus to be at work in us, growing things in us that aren't immediately visible. Which brings us back to the imagery of the garden, where we are reminded that out of death springs new life, springs beauty, and so many other good things. And so in this season where stories of sickness and death abound and where the sense of fear just feels heavy, hangs heavy in the air, we are invited to look to an empty tomb to see that out of despair rose hope. Hope for freedom, the promise of love, the promise that God continues to be at work even if we can't see it. And that this resurrection moment is the beginning of the end, when one day Jesus will return to come and to do the unimaginable, to bring healing and wholeness to his groaning creation. But in the meantime, let's do something subversive. Let's plant a seed. Let's water a plant. Let's play a game with a child. Let's sing a song the top of our lungs. Let's go for a walk in nature. Let's just do something that is about life in defiance of the sickness and death that surrounds us. And in doing so, we are learning to wait in expectation of what is to come. And in doing so, we are people of hope. Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, today we celebrate that you are alive. We are grateful that your death and your resurrection means that we can know you intimately. Lord Jesus, this morning we celebrate with heavy hearts, hearts that struggle to have hope. And so in defiance of the news that surrounds us, we have gathered to worship, gathered to celebrate and to pray. Lord Jesus, grow in us a deep faith, a resilient faith, that despite all the uncertainties around us, a faith that is looking to you, believing that you are here and that you are doing redemptive things. This morning we pray for those who are sick. In particular, we pray for our neighbors at Forest Heights Long-Term Care and at Lanark Place who are dealing with this virus. Lord, would you give strength, wisdom, and even joy to the staff? We ask for your healing presence to do what only you can do. And Lord, we ask that you would limit the spread of this virus. Lord, it seems as though we can all tell stories of people we know who have been impacted by this. Some of them are our family. Others are friends and acquaintances. Jesus, it is the desire of our hearts that your will would be done here on earth as is in heaven, and that you would halt the spread of this virus and you would bring healing quickly. Lord Jesus, we invite you to come. We invite you to breathe into us. We ask that you would help us to see you moving around us. Lord Jesus, give us faith. Amen. May the loving power of God, which raised Jesus to new life, strengthen you in hope, enrich you with his love, and fill you with joy in the faith. He is risen. Thank you for joining us. Bye.